Christian greetings to each of you today. It's a lovely day to gather together and worship, and I've been very, very blessed with the service this morning. And if you're in the preschool Sunday school class, you might have been the greatest inspiration to me this morning so far. But I watched those preschool students say their memory verse with just delight and eagerness and joy. And the other thing I noticed was that as it went from there, the eagerness and the desire and the delight just kind of ebbed away until there was just one that was willing to share next Sunday. And I didn't hear anything from the youth. I don't know if they were given opportunity or not, but oh, that we would have the eagerness and the delight of our children. And I was, we sang this song, I Would Love Thee, God and Father. It was a prayer song. And I wondered how many of us thought about the fourth verse. I would love thee, I have vowed it. On thy love my heart is set. While I love thee, I will never my Redeemer's blood forget. You know, if we keep that commitment, we will always be faithful. God is always faithful to us, and we will always be faithful to him. On thy love, my heart is set. And I trust that can be I know that it's our desire, and I trust it can be our experience. I enjoyed the Sunday school class a lot, and it sounded like maybe there were a few of you that were disappointed in the questions of the Sunday school class, and I thought maybe you'll also be disappointed in the message too this morning. One of the things that I thought about during the class is that, you know, I think that David and Asaph were men who, they lived in the Old Testament era, we know that, and they were in the era of time when God promised prosperity to the faithful. We live in a day when God hasn't promised prosperity to the faithful, but he's promised that he will help us be faithful. But even in this era of time that we live in, this dispensation, If you look at Christian history and Mennonite church history, and we're pretty much like all those people, we struggle a lot with the prosperity around us, don't we? And I thought about that, and how that Paul reminds us that he gives direction to those that will be rich, those that aim at being rich, and he gives direction to those that are rich and how to handle that. And so may God help us to navigate the times that we're living in and be faithful, that our heart's love would be set on his love and his mercy to us. I'd like to think about faithfulness this morning. God is always faithful. He has been faithful, and I mentioned that already. Christ Jesus is our faithful high priest. Reading recently through in the book of Exodus and Leviticus, I was impressed again with the work of the high priest and how that it was only through the high priest that men could find redemption and relationship with God. It was only through the high priest. And today, Christ is our high priest. And it is only through him that we find relationship with our Heavenly Father. And he is always faithful. Hebrews 2:17 says, wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. He was a faithful high priest, and it was through that that we can find reconciliation today. The other point that impressed me in reading in Leviticus and the descriptions of the sacrifices was that God wants, in the Old Testament time, God wanted relationship with his people. He always wanted that. The Old Testament was not just a day of law and a day of a time of formal religious activity, but it was a day when God wanted to have relationship with his people. One of the things that you find interesting is that when he defines the sacrifices, when it came to the voluntary sacrifices of worship and the peace offerings and the gifts that they would bring to the tabernacle, it says, it ends by saying it was a sweet savor unto the Lord. And when it comes to the sacrifices that needed to be brought because of sin, it always says that it was through that they found forgiveness. But God's will never was that his people would simply live in that cycle, you know, of falling into sin and then coming back to him. Finally, ultimately, God wants relationship. He wants our worship this morning to be a sweet savor that rises up to him. And I believe it has been that already. But he is also merciful. And he makes reconciliation for the sins of the people. Psalm 36 and verse 5 says this, "Thy mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens, and thy faithfulness reacheth unto the clouds." And so the earth is full of the glory of God, and the earth is full of the faithfulness of God, and there's examples of that all around us. He's been faithful in our lives. He's been faithful in our parents' lives. Brother this morning in the Sunday school class talked about his parents and how the families, along with his parents, moved to a new community. And they didn't go there, no doubt, to find earthly gain. They went there because God led them there. And there's examples of God's faithfulness, no doubt, that those families could share. Testimonies of faithfulness. We know that God's faithfulness actually reaches above the clouds. The Bible is written in language that we can understand, and it's written in language that earth folks can understand. And it's telling us and it's teaching us that God's faithfulness envelops the world, and it reaches under the clouds, but it's actually above the clouds. Psalm 119 and verse 90 says, "Thy faithfulness is unto all generations." And so in 2021, even though this old world is headed for destruction, and the people of this world, the people that are living for earth, the people that have their hearts set on possessions, are headed for an eternity without God. And the godless concepts that are being promoted by educated and high up people today, it's mind-boggling. But God's faithfulness is unto all generations, and we can be faithful today. If we lose out today, it's not because of God, it's because of us. And it's not because he has not given us the resources and the tools to serve him. Deuteronomy 7 and verse 9, "Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him." Those that set their heart on his love and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. Oh yes, today God is faithful. You are not beyond the reach of his hand, and neither is he so high that you cannot reach up and accept his touch in your life. Faithfulness to God. And so being faithful in the journey. We're all traveling a journey today. Jesus is the faithful one. He was faithful to his heavenly Father. He was faithful to his earthly family and to all those that met him along the way. He was faithful in his calling and was always mindful to do that which was his father's will. You know, Jesus needed to, well, it tells us there in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 17, the verse that I already read, that it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren. And he humbled himself to take on humanity. And Jesus, in his lofty position, he was always mindful to do the Father's will. Today we are so much lower and so much more ignorant and know so little about ourselves, and we know very, very little about the things around us, and we don't know the hearts of men. But how often are we're so prone to be lifted up, and yet to be faithful we need to do the will of our Father in heaven. And so faithfulness to the Lord is achieved as we endeavor to follow his will. The word faithful, as defined by Webster, means steadfast in affection or allegiance. Steadfast in affection or allegiance. To be loyal, to be firm in adherence to promises or in observance of duty, conscientious. When I was a teenager, I was not always very faithful, and I was not very conscientious. And I remember some boys my age and myself talking about looking at some other young men, and I remember defining them as being goody-goodies, or they think they're holy, and I thought about this. To be faithful, we need to be conscientious, and we need to be holy. And there's probably going to be those that are going to criticize us for not enjoying life. You know, just loosen up and enjoy life once. Conscientious. Webster, as a noun, gives this. I want you to listen. This is Webster. This isn't Pilgrim Bishop theology, okay? Or decrees. Webster's dictionary says this of the word faithful: church members in full communion and good standing. I wonder sometimes if maybe as Mennonites we've strayed from some of those concepts a bit, be that as it may. We are faithful to that which we believe in, that which is meaningful to us, that which we see is important to us. We're faithful to that which we value and hold dear, that which is precious. And we are faithful to the cause that brings us joy and delight. And so that's one of the reasons that as men we find it difficult sometimes to put a balance even in our work, in our occupations, because it brings us delight. We love it. We just enjoy our job. And that's not wrong, but how can we balance that? How can we keep that in proper perspective? We are faithful to those things that bring us joy and delight. And so when the Lord Jesus is delightful to us, when his word is delightful to us, when we love the things of the Lord, then we are going to be faithful to that. Faithful in the journey. Life is a journey. We're traveling the road from earth to glory. And we're traveling through time and headed for eternity. And I believe this morning that all of you here want to be faithful. I really believe that. I think that we all want to be faithful. We want to see Jesus. We want to follow through to the end. We want to get to heaven. We desire it. We desire it in our lives, and we want it badly. Maybe sometimes the problem is that we just don't want it bad enough. There's other things in our lives that we desire more. And we don't want faithfulness bad enough. And we get confused with some of the desires of our flesh and the things that our peers do. And may I say it, we get distracted with the prosperity in the world. Faithfulness. Sometimes the urge and the desire to fulfill fleshly pleasures wins in the tug of war between the faithfulness to God and the loyalty to our own will. And there's that tug of war that goes on. And it's real. We all face it. I face it. There's decisions that I need to make that sometimes you feel that tug of war. We have this song, you probably know the song, Find Us Faithful. And this song was written by a man named John. I don't believe I have his last name. John was a man who sang with the Gaither Vocal Band. And while he was singing and with that band, he was not a very faithful man. And he was a man that struggled a lot with moral purity in his life. And his mother told him one time that he just needs to get married. And when he gets married, everything will be okay. And he discovered that after he was married, that wasn't the case. He still had his carnal flesh with him. He still had his undisciplined habits still went with him. And he struggled to the point that he went out with another woman at one point in his life. And he came back and he was actually ready to throw in the towel and break up his marriage. And that was the first 8 years of his marriage. That was around the time they were married 8 years. They had a little girl, and he was ready to just give it all up. And there was another man on the team, this Gaither Vocal Band team, that would talk with him. They were friends. And he told him one day, he said, John, he said, you know, I faced a lot of things in my life too. You know that I wasn't always faithful. But he said, you can do it. You can see that I'm doing it. And he endeavored to encourage me. He said he would plead with me. And he said, John, you need to do what God's telling you to do. And so finally one day, John says that God tried one last time. They had not separated. But he says that John recalls that it was very terrifying. God kept telling me I had to bring it all out into the light and leave nothing covered up, and that I should confess it all to my wife and any others that I had wronged. And I said no to God, and I paid a heavy price for my resistance. And that had gone on for some time. And it was actually in this interim of time, I guess, where he had decided that maybe the best thing to do would be to leave his wife. But one night, as God was speaking to him, the Holy Spirit was working in his heart, he said this to John. He said, you know, John, you either face me now or you face me later. It's up to you. And he said that was the turning point. He said suddenly he could see it, how foolish he was and how undone he was. And he sat down with his wife and a bath towel for a handkerchief. And he cried and confessed everything he'd ever done. And he said the miracle was that when the dust had all settled, his wife forgave him. And he experienced the joy of forgiveness. And as he thought about this, and as he endeavored to serve the Lord faithfully, it was sometime a few months after this life-changing confrontation that John wrote this song, Find Us Faithful. We're pilgrims on the journey of the narrow road, and those who've gone before us line the way, cheering on the faithful, encouraging the weary, their lives a stirring testament to God's sustaining grace. Surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us run the race, not only for the prize, but as those who've gone before us, let us leave to those behind us the heritage of faithfulness passed on through godly lives. After all our hopes and dreams have come and gone, and our children sift through all that we've left behind, may the clues that they discover and the memories they uncover become the light that leads them to the road we each must find. Oh, may all who come behind us find us faithful. May the fire of our devotion light their way. May the footprints that we leave lead them to believe, and the lives we live inspire them to obey. Oh, may all who come behind us find us faithful. When Jesus comes again, when he returns, will he find us faithful? Will he find faith on the earth? Luke 18 and verse 8, the latter part of that verse says, "Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth?" And we know the answer to that he will find faith. There will be those gathered from the four winds of the earth and will be caught up to meet him in the air. Will he find us faithful? Shall he find faith on the earth? Shall he find the kind of faith, the saving faith, here in this earth, those that pursue God until they find him? In Luke chapter 12, I'd like to read a few verses there. In Luke chapter 12, and I'd like to read verse 29. In this chapter, Jesus gives just a lot of, well, I should say this, that he's making the comparison of true holiness, true godliness, true faithfulness, true dependency on him, genuine trust in him, and he's comparing that with men who live their lives in their own strength and have their own standards to go by. And he talks about the Pharisees, and he talks about warns them of falling into that trap. And then in verse 29, he says this, "And seek not ye what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of doubtful mind, for all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things." So he talks here in this chapter about some of the things that are necessary for us to raise families. It takes food and it takes clothing. And it takes a lot of it. It's not an easy task. Raising children or having a family is... it takes a lot of work. And he talks about some of these things that we think about, and we spend a lot of time endeavoring to plan and to make sure that our needs are supplied. "Seek not ye what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of doubtful mind." That's the key. "For all these things do the nations of the world seek after." And he says that, you know, finally our lives, there needs to be something different in the lives of those who are seeking first the kingdom of God as compared to the lives of those who are simply seeking to have a life. Tim talked about the man he saw pulling the boat and how fun that looked at for a moment. And I know that Tim would have had some fun doing that. Going boating. We all enjoy some of those things. But you can soon tell whether a person's heart is in it or not. I have no clue who that man was. I have no idea. The problem is that when we have too many of the nice things of this life, when we get to the Sunday morning worship service, instead of being like David and he needed to go to the sanctuary, sometimes a sanctuary is just, well, it's another church service, we did that now. and hearts really aren't there. That's how the people in the world around us live. That's what the nations of the world seek after, the Gentiles seek after. Your Heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things. Seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. And I don't believe that he's saying that we're going to have all the things that we want added into our life. It doesn't work that way. But he's saying that when we seek God's kingdom first, then sorting those things out and knowing what to put first and what to put second, what to be to make priority in our life, God gives us the wisdom to understand those things. And he supplies us with the things that we need so that we can serve him and be faithful to him. All these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell that ye have, and so on. Verse 34, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. I'd like to look at a few points. I've used the word faithful as an acrostic, and there's a number of points, so we'll go over these quickly. Number one is, we have the letter F, and it's, I've entitled this, Following God. We are on a journey. We always follow something. Every person in this life is following something. Someone, something, some goal. There's some driving motivation in his heart and life. He's following something. And so we will always follow something. When you get in your car and you drive down the road, you are following something. Men like to think that they don't need to follow anything. They know where to go. We don't need a GPS. We don't need to stop and ask for directions. We know how to do it. We know where we're going. Well, you know what? We always are following something. When we drive down the road, we're either following our memory on how to get there, or we're following a GPS, or we're following some written instructions that somebody gave us. We always follow something. When we walk down the road, if I would decide to quickly leave this building and head out the back, I guess I would have two choices, either the center aisle or the side aisle over here. I would have to decide. I would follow the direction, and I would follow back through the aisle. And we always follow something. It's either a map or our own memory. When we hike a mountain trail, we may simply follow the path that was traveled by others. And sometimes we actually follow someone else that's ahead of us. When we follow, we are always yielding our will to the will of whatever's guiding us, whoever or whatever. If it's just in very simple terms, when you're following a dirt path that's been made by those that traveled before, you are following, you're yielding to the way in which they went. And there's a lot of applications we could look at in this thought, but we are always following something as we go through life. And we are yielding our will to their decision. We accept the path that they have chosen. And we also accept their choice of destination. And we can trust our faithful Heavenly Father. He will always lead us in the right direction. Sometimes we stand at a crossroads in our life where God is saying you need to make a sharp turn, maybe a left-hand turn, a 90-degree turn. Sometimes we need to make a 180-degree turn and turn around. But there are times that God has brought us to intersections in our life, and God is saying you need to change direction of travel if you're going to keep following me. The road you're on isn't going to take you where you really want to go, and he begs us and pleads with us. We need to change course if we're going to stay on the road with him. Sometimes in life, we come to a why in the road. I believe there are times in our lives when we've come to whys where we could take either one direction, and it wouldn't necessarily take us off the road of godliness. But sometimes God calls us to a why in the road, and he says, I want to take you deeper in your Christian life. Or I have a work for you to do. I have a calling for you. And we need to find our way in those situations. Maybe it's just a simple thing like maybe you're asked to teach school. And there's reasons on both sides that you see that would be a blessing to God's kingdom, that you could be a blessing to God's kingdom. It's difficult sometimes to know where God wants us at each moment. But I believe that if there are times when God is asking us to take the Y to the left and we take the Y to the right, and our hearts are still longing to serve him and be faithful to him, he's going to lead us and draw us, and maybe there's another opportunity that he'll bring into our path. But these are important times in our life, and we must follow him. We must be serious about following God. Jesus said in John 12 and verse 26 that if any man serve me, let him follow me. It's the only way to be faithful to him and to find rest in our lives. It's the only way to be a follower of Jesus, if we allow him to lead us and direct us personally. Secondly, we have the letter A, and I've simply entitled this always. And you might say, well, what a funny word to use, always. Being faithful to God and following his path, we are always on duty with God. There's never off time. We never have vacation from the pathway of following God. Our speech is always heard by God. We are always on duty. We are always on the clock with God. Employees talk about being off the clock. Well, in the Christian life, we're never off the clock. It's always. And so whatever our age is this morning, whether we're old or young or wherever we find ourselves, we always need to be faithful to him. Number three, we have the letter I. It's integrity of life. Faithfulness requires carefulness as we walk life's pathway. It requires carefulness. It requires diligence. It requires seriousness about our lives. The word integrity means firm adherence to a code of moral values. We must walk uprightly no matter who is around or who we're with, and applying God's directives in our lives each moment of our life. Not allowing self and a whimsical emotion to deter us from our commitment to God. Unwavering faithfulness, unwavering fidelity. Number four is the letter T. It's trustworthy. A person that's responsible in their tasks, careful in their commitments, and conscientious as stewards of God's. Faithfulness in our jobs and faithfulness in the little areas of life. And, you know, in our day, in a person's day, no matter what your age is, you do a lot of seemingly insignificant things and unimportant things. You make a lot of decisions in a day's time. I don't know how many decisions we make in a day's time. Adults make a lot of decisions, little decisions, and things that seem so insignificant and unimportant. But just being trustworthy and careful about the decisions that we make. Careful in our commitments. Number five is the letter H. It's humility. In Micah 6:8, we're admonished there that the Lord requires us to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly, to follow humbly, to walk humbly with our God. The journey of faithfulness. Proverbs 20 and verse 6, notice this verse. Men can't put many feathers in their hats over this verse. But the proverb writer says this, that most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find. And men, we're just pretty good at proclaiming, making sure other people notice the things we do that work out. Most men will proclaim every man his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find. And it insinuates that faithful men are scarce, and faithful men, humble men, are just something we really need to work hard at. Our gratitude is a test of our humility, I believe. Number six, we have the letter F again. And I have entitled this Families. Faithfulness. Faithful in the journey. God doesn't call everyone to marriage. God doesn't call everyone to the same involvement in family life. But families are a tremendous blessing. And we love families. And families, I don't know many of you very good at all. If you're older and not married, think about your life and how blessed you are with the families around you. And if, as families, you know, we need to bless the lives of others that maybe are single. But our goal needs to be homes that are at rest, homes that are home life that is enjoyable, fathers that are honored and leading in their homes, husbands and wives that truly love each other and are glued together and enjoy being together and doing things together, a place where children are welcomed and loved, a place of acceptance. You know, there's that balance there, that fine balance in family life where, you know, family life is a place also where we nudge our children to the next level, don't we? And we nudge them to do their best, and we nudge them to just learn the skills that are needed. And there's a fine line between that and accepting our children for just who they are. And, you know, if they can't do something, they can't do it. Maybe all the brothers can do 25 chin-ups, and there's one brother that just can't do it. All the brothers can catch a ball. It's just not even a problem. And this one brother just can't catch a ball. I mean, I remember in school, this fellow, there was a boy in our class that was, or a couple grades ahead of me, that was smart as a whip. And out in the ball diamond, his glove would go any funny way when the ball came. And I couldn't understand, why can't he catch a ball? You know, today he's ordained, and it didn't matter. It didn't matter. But as families, our homes need to be places where we accept our children for who they are and the gifts that God has given them, and help them to sort out and understand the most important things in life. The church today is no stronger than the families that make up the church. And so if the church will be strong, families need to be committed to the church and need to be strong as well. Number 7, we have the letter U, and I've entitled this Unattached. And I see this here in our text passage, unattached to the world around us, seeking first the kingdom of God. It's one of the lessons that Jesus wanted to help his followers to understand, and he wants us to understand it today. But rather, seek ye the kingdom of God. Seek ye the kingdom of God. And Matthew chapter 6 says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Seek first the kingdom of God. Verse 34, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And I've used the analogy already of a treasure hunt. And children do a treasure hunt sometimes. Maybe a school teacher does a treasure hunt where there's prizes that are placed at different places, and at one spot you find it, and there's a clue there that takes you to the next place. And I, you know, as fathers, where do our children go to find our hearts? Where's our treasure? Where would they go looking if they want to find our heart? And in the spiritual things, do they know that we are seeking first the kingdom of God? Do our families understand where our values are? Well, they do understand. Where is it that the Gentiles seek after? Well, they seek after money and fame and sports, etc. And Jesus is saying that when we seek him, we're not going to seek the things the Gentiles seek. And what a challenge that is, to let the things in the world in the world. And the things of the world, let that just be of the world. Sometimes it's difficult for us to not be attached to the things that are a part of the kingdom of this world. And last of all, number 8 is the letter L. And we need to be a light to others. In Matthew chapter 5, Jesus commanded that ye are the light of the world. He says there that we're the salt of the earth, but ye are the light of the world. In Philippians chapter 2 and verse 15, he says there that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights. And he says there that we're shining as lights. We're to be like a light in this world. And so, but in Matthew chapter 5, he says, ye are the light. Ye are the light. And I believe this morning that, well, we know that Jesus isn't here. We are his representatives in the world. Ye are the light. And every Christian will be a light. Every Christian will shine. Every Christian will be noticed by those that are serving the kingdom of this world. Let us show to the world around us the mercy and the patience and the thankfulness and the godliness and the holiness and the joyfulness that the world is in such bad need of. In closing, Proverbs 28 and verse 20 says, a faithful man shall abound with blessings. Now this is Old Testament. Notice the next phrase. But he that maketh haste to be rich shall not be innocent. So I had this verse in my notes before Sunday school this morning. So I didn't write this verse down because of the Sunday school lesson. But think about that. A faithful man shall abound with blessings, but he that maketh haste to be rich shall not be innocent. And it implies that faithful men work a lot harder at being faithful than they do about in being rich. And I think that's where we get confused sometimes. Will your legacy be one that's worth duplicating? And so let's leave a path that others can follow. Faithfulness in the journey. This morning, we all badly want to be faithful in the journey, and God badly wants us to be faithful. He wants to see us through to the end. He wants to invite us home to glory. And at the end of the journey, he wants to be there and to welcome us, where we can spend eternity with him. Let's not give up in our journey, but let's continue faithfully serving him. Let's kneel for prayer. Kind Heavenly Father, we humbly bow our hearts before you again this morning toward the close of this service. We've been blessed tremendously. We've been challenged. Father, we've also given commitments to you. We've given promises to you as we sang prayer songs and as you've spoken to us and as your word was an inspiration to us and as our hearts responded with a commitment to you. Father, we pray that you would help us to be faithful to you. Help us to love you more than anything else in this world. We ask, Lord, your special blessing on this congregation. And as they follow you and as they let their light shine for you, may others see your goodness and see the work that you can do in the life and the hearts of men and women. We just pray, Lord, that you would be with the gospel message, with your gospel message in these last days. Be with your people that are shining lights in this world, and may your light shine brightly and clearly to a lost and dying world. We also ask, Lord, that if there's anyone here this morning that is not faithful to you, that they would, maybe they realize they're standing at the crossroad and you're beckoning them to make a turn. Help them, Lord, to humble their hearts and follow you. We ask, Lord, your continued blessing on our activities today, and may we use this day of worship, this day set aside from the duties of this life, to honor you and to glorify you and to think about you. In Jesus' name, amen.